Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. We have got former Secret Service Special Agent in charge. Yes, he's a SAC, Rich Steripoli, on the show today. And yes, be assured that we have enough Secret Service content to keep him busy. No shortage. So thanks for being on the show, Rich. Appreciate it. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gauls at Gauls.com. And don't forget, we have that coupon code. It's Radio15. Go to Gauls.com and type in Radio15. That'll get you 15% off of most purchases there. And also, our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. We've been on satellite radio with Westwood One for about a year now. Also, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now during the live show. And they built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You can go to our website and get a cool shirt like the one that I'm wearing, or the coffee mug behind me. So check that out. And we've also got Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press that's carrying our content. So thanks to Brian and getting us on MSN, and also Ray Dieter at formerlawman.com, and our very own Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, in case you guys are wondering what in the world we're going to be talking about today, no main stories, but boy, main stories, they're deeper, they're big stories, usually national or international on that frame. And we're replacing the main stories with three update stories. And these are all involving Secret Service or federal stuff. So the first one is going to be Secret Service agent assigned to Joe Biden injured in a negligent discharge at a Philadelphia airport. So that'll be our first one. Our next one is Secret Service agent faulted for butler failures, suspended again. Wait till you hear why. And then we got, and look, this is not necessarily breaking news anymore, but I do want to talk about it. FBI is investigating the former intelligence official named Joe Kent in a leak probe. Remember, this is the guy that quit his job with the National Counterterrorism Center, and he blamed it all on Trump going to war with Iran and just saying that there's no justification to do that. What was the real reason he left? Yeah, we're going to find out. And then we got some stories of video components. Fort Worth police, they shoot a suspect who approached an officer and he raised his gun. Got some issues with that. Motorcyclist that was running from police at 103 miles an hour. Then he ends up hitting an officer. He runs on foot through a drive-thru before he's tased and arrested. There's some problems with that one. We got a video showing a domestic violence call that ended in a deadly Phoenix police shooting. And then finally, if we have time to get to it, in Jacksonville, Florida, police fatally shoot a domestic disturbance suspect when he pulls out a gun. So we got a pretty active plate here. So if you're ready, Rich, we'll start off with the first of three Secret Service or sure. The first of two Secret Service articles, and then a federal one. So this is on FoxNews.com. Secret Service agent assigned to the Joe Biden injured in a negligent discharge at the Philadelphia airport. And I had not heard about this before, but this agent was assigned to former First Lady Jill Biden, mistakenly shot himself in the leg at a Philadelphia airport, according to KYW, I got a little scared there when I started reading that, KYW News Radio. So an agent was injured following a negligent discharge is what they're calling it, while handling a service weapon. And this is according to the Secret Service spokesperson, Nate Herring, and he was telling this to Fox News Digital. And it goes on to say that Joe Biden was not named in the incident. And on a Friday morning, just after 8:30, an on-duty U.S. Secret Service special agent suffered a non-life-threatening injury following a negligent discharge while handling a service weapon at the Philadelphia International Airport. But this was during a protective assignment. The protectee, they say, was not present when the episode occurred. You know, Joe Biden, there was no impact to the protectee's movement. I'm not so sure about that. Rich will tell us. And there were no reported injuries of any other individuals besides a special agent. And he's being evaluated in an area hospital in stable condition. They don't really say it was even a he, to be honest with you. So I said he could have been a she. The Secret Service's Office of Professional Responsibility will be reviewing the facts and circumstances of the incident. Rich Steripoli.
You know, I got to tell you, there is no shortage of Secret Service stories. For an agency that's so small and is supposed to be this elite, cutting-edge agency, in addition to changing its leadership, they really need to think about changing the name and call it maybe something, the anything but Secret Service. because of all these incidents. So here you go with a story. Dr. Jill Biden is going to Philadelphia Airport to make a flight. Agent gets out of the Suburban and apparently is in the men's room. And while he's in the men's room, something happens. His weapon discharges and he shoots himself. Well, that's how the story first came over. And when I heard that, I said, that doesn't make sense. I've never been in a men's room anywhere at an airport where I'm the only person in that men's room. So where were the other people that heard this? You're telling me a shot gets fired inside of a terminal, particularly in Philadelphia, and hundreds of cops don't swarm that terminal. So that original story made no sense. So then the story became he was escorting Dr. Jill Biden, and it is a he, by the way. And I point well taken at the beginning. They didn't say if it was a he or a she, but in this case, it's a he.
Okay.
He's escorting Dr. Jill Biden and realizes he forgot his cell phone in the Suburban and actually leaves the side of Dr. Jill Biden, goes out of the terminal back to the Suburban. And while he's leaning over the seat to retrieve his cell phone, his weapon miraculously falls out of the holster and somehow discharges and he shoots himself. And again, I heard that and I said, that doesn't make any sense either. I mean, how many of the listeners and viewers on this show have dropped a weapon in the locker room on the floor? It doesn't just discharge. That doesn't happen. So that doesn't make any sense. So the way the story finally evolves is that he did, in fact, leave his cell phone in the vehicle, in the Chevy Suburban, can't find the cell phone, and is so in such a rush to find this cell phone, he draws his weapon, which he claims had a Secret Service issued flashlight on it, and is using the flashlight on the end of the gun to search through the dark vehicle to find the cell phone. Finds the cell phone, manages to, you know, put that in his pocket without any problem. Apparently shoots himself at some point. It's unclear where exactly, but the sources are telling me he shot himself in the rear of his thigh. So a couple of problems with this. One, you know, the Secret Service doesn't issue weapons with flashlights on them. So are you carrying an unauthorized weapon? Number two, why is that weapon out of the holster to begin with? You're at an airport. You know, what are you thinking? And then number three, were you even carrying a holster? Seems to me he was carrying an unauthorized weapon, went to put it in the small of his back in the what we'll call the Mexican carry type of thing.
Right.
Pulls the trigger and shoots himself in the small of his back, right? The police, and here's the great part of the story. The Philadelphia Police Department, the Philadelphia Airport Police show up. They want no part of this. So they just say to the Secret Service, fellas, you got it. And they leave. They don't even take the weapon. So we don't even know if that weapon did in fact fire that round. Wow. They didn't do an ammo count, because how do we know 2 weeks from now, some guy's not going to say, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was in the Philadelphia airport and I got shot by a stray bullet. So they just kind of washed their hands of the whole thing and just turned it back over to the Secret Service. So, you know, once again, here's a young agent whose head isn't just where it should be and manages to let a round go in a crowded airport. Unfortunately, doesn't shoot some 6-year-old kid holding mom's hand, getting ready to board a flight to Disneyland. You know, that type of thing.
Wow. You know, The misinformation that still makes it out, though, is a little concerning. I mean, you know, I just heard three different versions of the story, and wow.
You know, and that's the other problem, right? So here's a situation where it's confirmed a Secret Service agent did discharge his weapon. You would think something of such paramount importance would be worthy of a comment specifically from the director of the Secret Service or the head spokesperson. But no, nobody's got anything to say. It's just business as usual. You know, the public's had enough of this nonsense. This is just ridiculous.
All right. Well, this is this stuff happened. You know what? There's always a human component to everything that we're involved with, right? Not an excuse for stuff happening, though. So are you ready to take story number two?
Have at it, sir.
All right. I don't want to worry. I know you're going to be worn out at the end of the show. I just don't want to wear you out, you know, prematurely, you know. So the next one is the source. One of the sources you gave me, realclearpolitics.com. Thank you very much, by the way. Sure. Secret Service agent faulted for butler failures. Suspended again. Oh yeah. So look, we've got a little less than 2 minutes before we take our first commercial break. But the Secret Service agent who is in charge of developing and executing the failed security plan for the 2024 rally where President Trump was nearly killed, Butler, has been suspended and is under internal agency investigation for allegedly improperly reporting her relationship with and eventual marriage to a foreign national. You can't make this stuff up. This is according to several sources telling this to Real Clear Politics. Now, the suspension, it's the third one in a year and a half for this particular agent, Mayo Perez, or I probably butchered the name, but it's a female and who has served as the site agent for the Butler campaign rally, where, of course, would-be assassin shot Trump, you know, shot him, you know, in the head, in the air, killed retired firefighter Corey Compitor, and then seriously injured two other people. And the story, if you can believe it, gets even better. So congressional investigations that examined the Butler failures, they faulted Perez, our female agent, for not placing any Secret Service or local police assets on top of the American Glass building where our assassin was firing the shots from, and among other security problems that were there. And yet the probes also question why the Secret Service allowed an inexperienced agent, her, to be placed in this crucial role at an outdoor rally with thousands of people, you know, being in attendance. So I'm going to go in and start slowing down there because this is about to get, it's even going to get better, guys. You're going to die when you hear the rest of this. But we got a first commercial break coming up. So stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Steripoli. And wow, we are talking about, it's all Secret Service right now. And so we just left one Secret Service story. We're on our next one. Secret Service agent faulted for Butler failures is suspended again. And our female agent, Mayo Perez, I believe is her name. She has been, in 1.5 years, she's been suspended. Oh, I guess in a year and a half, it's her third suspension. Wow. Yep. You know, so there was a congressional investigation examining the Butler failures. They faulted her for not placing Secret Service or local police on top of the American Glass building where the assassin was. And there were other problems they talk about as well. And they also questioned why the Secret Service allowed an inexperienced agent such as herself to be placed in that crucial role in charge of that outdoor rally at Butler. And this decision, it says, to have Perez in the leading security role for the Butler rally is even more concerning, considering that top-level Secret Service officials, including the current Secret Service Director Sean Curran, who was serving as the Trump campaign detail leader at the time, that they had all been briefed on a threat from Iran to Trump's life. And over the last year and a half, the article goes on to say that in the wake of the assassination attempts, that Perez, our female, has remained an agent, and she's faced ongoing leadership scrutiny. But she still remained an agent despite all that. And she was supposed to be sidelined from protective detail working on criminal investigations only. And then her Secret Service supervisors in the Miami field office decided, yeah, you know what? We're going to go ahead and violate that understanding. And they didn't limit that. They didn't honor that limitation for her role. She was not supposed to serve in a physical security role. And despite the ongoing congressional investigation, it says that the internal Secret Service review of her role in Butler failures, that during all this, she quietly married a Brazilian foreign national last April. And so a year ago this month, and she did not notify the agency, according to a copy of her marriage certificate that was located in Brevard County Public Records. And when they learned of the marriage, the agency suspended her and they issued an internal do not admit notice, which I have no clue what that is. So I'm sure you'll educate me on that. And it says the Internal Secret Service investigation is examining whether the woman Perez was dating and married. So it was a female thing last year, if she had overstayed her visa and was facing a deportation order, which would just make the story, that would just be like icing on the cake. But that's what multiple sources told Real Clear Politics. And finally, she's also attorneyed up. So her attorney, Larry Berger, told Real Clear Politics that it's premature to comment at this time. I'll bet he did say that. Rich Steripoli.
Yeah, he probably did say that. His head's got to be spinning at 1,000 miles an hour right now. You know, I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway from what you've just said is you've got a Secret Service agent who's been deemed not worthy of being able to be assigned any protective responsibilities. You think about that for a second. You're a Secret Service agent. You're told you can't do anything protection related. That's like saying to an Amazon employee, you can work for Amazon, but you can't go near any packages and you can't drive any of the trucks. What the hell are you doing there then? It's kind of ridiculous. This 45-day suspension, we can start with that. She was deemed responsible by an independent commission, a congressional inquiry. She was responsible for the first line of defense in not putting someone on the roof of that AGR building in Butler. That's not supposition. That's not rumors or anything coming off the rumor mill. That was founded by a separate outside investigation. And she was hit with a 45-day suspension. A little unclear how much of that suspension she actually served, but to put it in perspective, the agents that were with President Lincoln the night at Ford's Theater, they didn't get hit with a 45-day suspension. Let's put that in perspective. That is a huge, huge deal in the Secret Service. And then you skip ahead over the course of the next year and a half, she suspended not a second time, but a third time. Unheard of. Why is she still on the job? She should have been fired, you know, long ago. It's just absolutely ridiculous. This whole issue about the marriage to a foreign national. Now there's some talk about the foreign national being here illegally. All of this has to be investigated. She's been deemed again a do not admit, which means she's not allowed access to any Secret Service facilities or any facilities that the Secret Service provides protection to, specifically the White House. I've said this many times over the years. If you've been deemed a do not admit, how can you still be in the employ of the U.S. Secret Service? If anything, I think her hallmark of and sums up her very short career is she should be the social media manager for the Secret Service. You can go online and look at her social media. She's got a habit of taking pictures everywhere she goes and posting them in real time while she's working. It's just something that I find unacceptable, inexcusable. Mm. And it just speaks again to the mentality of where leadership is. How many more times are you going to tolerate this nonsense before you fire this employee? I guess apparently the answer is as many times as we feel like, because they haven't fired her yet.
She wouldn't by chance be the female that was in the video after Trump got shot. They couldn't even get her gun back in her holster or anything, would she?
No, she's in the video, but that's a whole other agent involved in this thing. This is the one you'll see, long black hair, ponytail. Another one, not quite sure what to do with the scene, but the agent you're referring to, she didn't even get hit with a 45-day suspension.
Wow.
So let's, you know, you got to wonder what's going on here. And it comes back to the most basic question, is anyone in charge at the Secret Service? And apparently it's not. And there's a reason why they've taken to calling it the Secret Circus, because that's what it's become.
Yeah, that is sad. That is, wow. I just reading this article, and I'm just glad that I'm glad Trump's still alive. We got to keep it that way. And we got to get in front of agents like, and she sounds like a diversity hire. I mean, she just sounds like someone that's just out of her element, that doesn't have the qualifications for the job. They just too bad. They just won't get rid of her.
Well, there you go. I think you put it perfectly. She's definitely out of her element here. How many times are you going to give someone the opportunity to screw up? Time and time again. And the problem is, this isn't a job where a screw up doesn't have any cascading ramifications here. She almost got the president of the United States killed. And now you're pulling some stunt where you marry this woman. We don't even know anything about this woman. Are you harboring an illegal alien, or is this woman an out-and-out spy? We have no idea.
Yeah, this is just incredible. All right. That was story number two. There is more to come, guys. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments, no injuries, no deaths. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Rich sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Tiropoli. So thanks for being on the show. And, you know, I think that we've been talking about our Secret Service agent faulted for the Butler failures, suspended again, and we had another one that we were talking about before that. Any more commentary on that, Rich?
No, I don't think you're going to see anything change at the Secret Service until we have a change in the senior leadership, right? No matter what department you're with, the leadership sets the tone and the mindset for the troops down in the field. And if leadership is seen as being disengaged, unmotivated, incompetent in many cases, you know, the field picks up on that. And then it becomes like you're the principal of a high school that's just running wide open. And people just don't focus on what they need to be focusing on. And, you know, the sad part of this is, listen, the Secret Service is dealing with, you know, with guns. And you can't just have people firing, you know, errant rounds because they've got to land somewhere. So there's huge ramifications for these screw ups. This isn't like we're talking about an agency that does nothing but internal bookkeeping audits, right? There are wide ranging implications for every member of the public when a Secret Service agent screws up. And, you know, leadership's just not taking it seriously.
Yeah, you're right. The stakes are just so high. I mean, just one screw up can result in I hate to prioritize the level of life, but, you know, you don't want to lose a sitting president, a member of Congress, sure, or former president. Right. The stakes are so high. And it shows weakness. And we just can't. We're oozing weakness right now in some places. So.
Yeah, and the problem is, you know, the real bad guys, you know, they're watching everything that's going on here. They see what the story is. And people say to me all the time, well, you know, the Secret Service has these locations buttoned up pretty well. How are we going to get a gun inside? Well, my answer is you don't need to. I'm just going to go into an event. I'll buy a ticket, however I get in legitimately, and I'm going to size up some Secret Service agent that simply isn't seen as being up to the task. And I'm going to take the gun from that Secret Service agent. Yeah. And now I've got a gun inside of a venue. And if you don't think the bad guys are thinking that, you're making a big mistake.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, moving along, our third story, Tampa Free Press at TampaFBI.com. We have FBI investigating a former intelligence official, Joe Kent, in a leak probe. So they opened up this leak investigation to Joe Kent, and he's the former director of National Counterterrorism Center, according to a report by a Semaphore. And so the inquiry, it focuses on allegations that Kent improperly shared classified information with unauthorized individuals. But the very first we heard of him recently, at least anyhow, is when he resigned and he was just saying, you know, this Iran war, it's just off the chart. I don't agree with it. I don't approve of it. And we're fabricating this stuff and we're only doing it because Israel talked Trump into doing it, right? And so it appears that it was a distraction technique. And so the FBI probe into this former high-ranking official reportedly began actually months before he left from the administration, according to Shelby Talcott, the White House correspondent for the publication Semaphore. And she said there were four people with direct knowledge of the matter, confirmed the investigation was already underway during Kent's tenure at the agency before he even left. And he resigned in a public protest against the ongoing war in Iran, like I said. In his resignation letter, he claimed that Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. You got to be kidding me. He alleged that Trump initiated the conflict due to pressure from Israel. Following the release or the public release of his resignation. The White House aides and allies immediately slammed him. And sources familiar with the situation, they told Semaphore that the federal inquiry is not a reaction to his resignation, but it is a months-long effort to determine whether sensitive material were actually mishandled by him. He's actually a former Green Beret, and he served in the role that he was in since being confirmed last year. So he hasn't been there super long, but just a huge disappointment. Rich.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the problems I have with the NCTC, the National Counterterrorism Threat Center, as well as the intelligence community overall. Somewhere along the line, these agencies and these intelligence centers have been permeated by this woke liberal philosophy. You know, it's one thing when you get a classified intel sheet and it's got a paragraph worth of information. What usually follows that is some sort of assessment. Can you imagine getting information about the Iranians? And what follows is the assessment from some analyst that says it's been deemed that there's no imminent threat from the Iranians. Who in their right mind would sign off on something like that? Well, apparently it's this guy, Joe Kent, right? I can't take away from what the guy did in the military, but you know, what is this guy thinking about putting something out there like that out there? And not only doing that, but doing it publicly, you know, and that's what I've got a real problem with. So you get these analysts and, you know, Abigail Spanberger is another great example of somebody that had access to the same type of information. You know, the intelligence community, the NCTC needs to get back to doing what they're supposed to be doing. Put the information out there. I don't really care what your opinion or what your thought is. I just want to know what's the information and leave it to me if I'm going to act on it or not. So I'd like to see this guy get prosecuted. But ultimately, I don't think anything's going to happen to him. We've seen this too many times.
Yeah, but what a move, though. You know, sometimes the first guy out of the gate gets that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and resign. I'm going to get the story going out here. You know, some people think, you know, Tucker's done something, you know, somewhat, you know, anyhow, I guess the jury's still out on that. Tucker was releasing some stuff saying that he was being, you know, investigated. And so I'm curious what's going to happen with that. You know, it's getting that narrative, being the first one to get that narrative out there. It's kind of like having that domestic violence situation going on. And whoever is the first one to go apply for the, you know, for the protection order, you know, so we'll see.
But the problem is you can go back to a guy like Vindman, right? Yeah. Another high profile, that guy should be in prison. What happened there? Nothing, you know, and unfortunately, when the Bureau says they're currently investigating, the Bureau doesn't do anything quick. These are long-term drawn out investigations. In this case, I don't see why you need that. The guy went public with what he said. He said what he said. That's a fact. This guy needs to be prosecuted because you know what? You just opened the door for the next 20 or 30 people to do the same thing.
Right.
And it's just going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, I think nothing would please. I think most, well, I'm going to say most Americans, but the ones that, you know, well, let's face it. Trump won the popular vote, so we could argue that the majority of the country are Trump supporters, and they absolutely love what he's doing. Sure. So I think it wouldn't be too far of a stretch to say that the majority of the country would love to see people start wearing handcuffs. I mean, I remember after what Hillary Clinton did and the stuff and the destruction of evidence and all this stuff, you're just thinking, you know, really, where is this going to end? How can people get away with the stuff where it would be a career ender for me and worse? So, yeah, very troubling.
You know, if you look at collectively, say, the last 11 years, right, since the day Trump got elected the first time, all the way up until, we'll call it 9 o'clock this morning, the only guy that's been prosecuted is Donald Trump.
Yeah, good point.
Anything else that's gone on, people have gotten away with it. Joe Biden let, 25 million illegal aliens into the country. Mayorkas was the architect of the whole thing. No one has said word one about this guy. People have just gotten away with the craziest things. And look, I love Trump's picks, but Pam Bondi's not showing me a whole lot. I have not seen handcuffs put on anyone. I mean, what are you waiting for, lady? We've been doing this for a year and a half.
Yeah, nothing would please me more than to start seeing people. I'll even donate the first pair of handcuffs. How cool would that be to have your handcuffs be the first ones used on a bad guy going to jail for something like this?
Oh. Listen, if it's a question of the ability to obtain handcuffs, I can call Gauls. I can use my 15% discount card, and I'll get you a pair of handcuffs and a pair of pants to go with it. So that's not an issue. And they'll deliver them in an hour.
There you go. I love it.
They got to get on the ball here and start locking people up. Otherwise, you know, because we're at the point now, people are saying, yeah, another investigation. Okay, that's good. And it's business as usual. And that's a problem.
Ham, if you need handcuffs, get a hold of Rich and I. You know how they do it. We will help you out.
Exactly.
So moving to some stories for video components, this is a pretty interesting one. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Fort Worth police officer shoots a suspect who approached an officer and raised a gun.
David 2M, close the channel. Close, drop the gun! Drop it! Put it down right now, get on the ground! Shots fired.
So yeah, we're in Fort Worth, Texas, and they released this body cam video and audio recordings, and they are the moments before an officer shot and injured a 33-year-old man who allegedly approached the officer with a firearm. And I don't think that we need to say allegedly, because we have video and it's clear. The shooting happened on March the 25th near a residence. This guy is identified as Alejandro Serrano. He approached the officer with his gun raised, ignored commands to lower the weapon, prompting the officer to fire. And as of Monday afternoon, the guy was still in the hospital, but in stable condition. The officer has been with the department for 4 years. And the officer has not been publicly identified. So the officers in the area were originally sent to investigate a DV call, a domestic violence call. But this bad guy, it was determined that he had nothing actually to do with that. And so we've got a video, but the guy's got a history of mental health issues, and he had previous interactions with the officers, which we don't know what those were. But the video shows this guy walking up on a street corner, and he turns his back to the intersection. And man, we've got it. We got a commercial break coming up. But when he turns his back to the intersection, we got a police cruiser SUV rolling up at the same time. Guy's got a gun. He just starts like pointing at a house and starts pulling the trigger. There's a freaking police SUV sitting in the intersection. And so the guy turns around, and then the cop, you know, is there and gets out of his car and starts giving the commands to the guy that dropped the weapon. And I'll be if the guy didn't have the time to point the gun at the cop before shots were fired by the officer. We're going to talk more about that in a second. We're up on our third commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And hey, everybody knows by now that they have these degrees, certified firearm specialists. And the good news is that now they partner with Smarter Degrees. So even if you have become a certified firearm specialist up to 5 years ago, you can now convert that into college credits. It's an amazing thing. So that's even over the last 5 years, don't forget. So Smarter Degrees University Partners is what it's called. Whether you're purchasing or pursuing a degree, or simply looking to maximize the value of your education, the partnership opens up a new pathway to academic recognition for your firearm training. And of course, GunLearn.com is the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And that is like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett. He has that certification. They provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. And again, that is at gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by former Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Steripoli. We left off talking about a Fort Worth police officer shooting a suspect who approached the officer and raised his gun. Look, Fort Worth, Texas. This bad guy at an intersection, right when the cop rolls up investigating a DV call, a domestic violence call, which had nothing to do with this guy. This guy, I believe it already fired, 20 to 30 shots, and that's what neighbors had said. And right when the cop rolls up, this guy's just pulling the trigger. It's nighttime, and he's just, you know, shooting towards the house. So the cop gets out of his car. I think there was clear justification to shoot this guy instead of letting him turn around and face you with a gun in his hand. And then they've got it on video where he actually is pointing it. And, you know, it was watching the slow down freeze frames is the only way I really was able to see it because it was so dark at night. But the officer can be heard asking him to drop the gun several times before the officer fired his weapon. Police did not say publicly how many times the officer shot and struck the bad guy. And then another officer seen arriving at the scene. Really, right when the shots are being fired, that guy, that officer's rolling up, and he's giving commands to the bad guy who had fallen to the ground to drop the gun and stuff. So no other individuals were injured during the shooting. And just kind of going back to my show notes here, the backup arrives right when the suspect's going down at the 1 minute 53 mark. We've got all these body cams that are being reviewed and stuff, slow motion, freeze frames and zoom. So especially in this particular incident, without the, I mean, you know, you know, like I do, Rich, you know, you can be there in the naked eye, it can see and process so much stuff, right? But when you're looking at a review in a video, and if you're going in real time, there's just stuff you're just going to miss. It's hard to explain. Thank God for slow motion, freeze frames, and zoom, because I never would have been able to see what I was finally able to see without those, you know, special effects.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I agree with you. I don't think there's any question about the cop being justified in shooting this guy. But I think more importantly, it speaks to, regardless of what police department you're with or what agency, the veterans are right when they tell you, hey, kid, once you leave the precinct house or the station, you never know what you're going to run into. And it's very true. These guys are just on patrol. You're driving down the street and pull up past an intersection, there's a guy standing there with a gun who's just fired 20 or 30 rounds. You just never know what you're walking into. So I think it's a good reminder. As difficult as it is, you got to keep your head on a swivel and just pay attention when you're out there, especially if you're working in uniform. You just don't know what you're going to be driving into. And people are out of their minds. I mean, this guy could have easily killed, you know, 20 or 30 people instead of just randomly firing at a building.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the cop take the guy out before he gave the bad guy time to raise the gun up and and literally, it's not allegedly pointed the gun at the cop. Let me tell you, they're from multiple angles. This dude raised that gun and pointed it at the cop. The cop got the shot off pretty quick. Yep. Bad guy had plenty of time to get off 1, 2, 3 shots before the cop even you know, started doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. But I think that speaks to just, you know, the mindset and putting yourself in that situation. This cop had to be thinking, what the hell did I just step out into? Yeah. Right. And fortunately, it worked out well for the cop, where the bad guy's dead. But it could easily have worked out in favor of the bad guy, where, you know, because everything happens to cops. Even the, you know, the slightest thing, cop gets nicked and grazed by a bullet, ends up, you know, bleeding to death on the sidewalk, that type of thing. So I agree with you. I would have liked to have seen the cop fire sooner, but I can't fault the cop because, you know, look, it's the mindset and being in that situation.
No, I'm with you. Well, let's go to the motorcycle one. We're still at rumble.com at our favorite channel, This Is Better. So we have a motorcyclist that is fleeing at 103 miles an hour. And then he hits an officer, runs through a drive-thru, and then gets tased and arrested.
Stop. I'm going to tase you. Get on the ground! Police! Police! No!
Stay
on the ground! Stay on the ground! Roll on your stomach! On your stomach! On your stomach! Roll over!
Been hit with his motorcycle.
I didn't mean to. I was so scared.
I thought you were going to rob me.
Yeah, a police officer just saw me in uniform. Saw on video. Then you ran from me out there at 100 yesterday.
I didn't shoot him.
Yeah. How about when I yelled stop police 15 times?
You got no license, no endorsement, dude. What are you doing?
Tried to carjack people.
Now, we're in Port St. Lucie, Florida. So I say that with pause because it doesn't necessarily reflect that favorably on Florida law enforcement. So I will say that I was a little disappointed in the performance of the officer, but here we go. We have a 20-year-old, or I'm not a 20-year-old. We have a 20-year-old motorcyclist. So this is the bad guy, and he's facing a long list of charges after Port St. Lucie police said that he sped through the city at more than 100 miles an hour. So the guy's still alive. He struck an officer with his motorcycle, and then he runs on foot through a fast food drive-through area. And that's the way this thing went down. So according to the Port St. Lucie Police Department, Malachi Venerin, he was spotted. This is our bad guy. March 23rd, he's on a motorcycle doing 103 miles an hour, passes a traffic unit officer. And so Police said that the officer tracks him down, tries to initiate a traffic stop. Bad guy. He flees instead. And now the it says the Veneering struck the officer with a motorcycle. But let's how do we get there? So cop pulls up, gets out of his. I believe it was in a cruiser at this time. Walks around the rear of it. Bad guy's on the bike and he's stationary. He's just trying to get moving again. And the cop goes up to grab onto him. And the guy just accelerates the bike, hits the cop, knocks him back. And the bad guy ends up crashing the bike right after he hits the cop. Bill is on the bike. He doesn't have enough time to try to get it, started and going again because the cop's right there. And so now there's a foot chase. So that's the way this happened. They're going through a fast food restaurant drive-through. The customers are all there when this is going on. Now, the cop starts to slow down. And now there's more distance between him and the bad guy. And the cop's on the radio. And now all of a sudden the bad guy is on the other side of these hedges, which are like, what, about waist high, I think, Rich? And yep. I keep waiting for the cop to go through the hedges. And then I can see the bad guy. Remember, he's got a motorcycle helmet on. And now he's trying to get inside the car. He's actually getting inside of a car that's in a drive-through. And the cop's on the other side of the hedges. And it's really hard to tell distance when you're looking at these body cams. But cops look, it looks like he's maybe 30, 40 feet away from the bad guy, not closing the distance or going up to prevent him from, doing a carjacking or whatever. And so the cop's got a freaking taser out and he's deploying the taser. It's a multiple shot taser. Bad guy runs away. And then the cop gets him to go down on the ground. It looks like the taser makes contact from a distance, but the cop doesn't, he's not closing the distance. It's just like, radio. He's got a taser. He's not going in, going 10, 15 or anything. I just like kept left me scratching my head. And, eventually the video cuts out, then it comes back on where we've got another cop helping this cop out. They're putting the guy in handcuffs. They find a loaded firearm in his backpack along with narcotics. So it could have been much worse than what it was. And police said the officers also recovered about 45 grams of marijuana along with baggies and a scale. Mr. Rich Dirapoli.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, you never rush through the drive-thru, because if you do that, when you get home, you're going to find out that they screwed you over and that large fries you think you ordered is actually onion rings. So, I got to fault the guy on that one. But you got a guy who's speeding past you 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. This guy needs to go hands-on. You got to engage this guy. He's about to carjack somebody. You got to go get him. That taser's nice, but there's too much of a reliance on that taser at this point. You've got to close the distance, if nothing else, for your own personal safety. 40 feet, 30 feet, you're still too far away to really see what this guy's got going on, what he's reaching for, what he's doing. I'd have been more comfortable closer to him, as crazy as that sounds. So at least I can see what his hands, because that's what's going to hurt me. But, right. Listen, the outcome was fine, right? We've seen this many times where some sort of backup, whether it's other cops or civilians, is helping a cop cuff somebody up. But, I just think this should have been a little more focused and a little bit more of an immediate response from the cop, just for his own personal safety. You got to get a little closer to this guy and take control of the situation. This could have turned into a real mess for this guy, especially if he'd gotten to that backpack and was able to use that gun.
Yeah, I got, if I have someone doing a carjacking, dude, I'm ditching the freaking taser and I'm going with a firearm.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
It's a violent felony, and then he's too far away to do anything. Let's face it, there's no way from where the cop was at where he could have prevented that carjacking. I mean, it didn't work out for whatever reason, but he was not in a position to have done anything to prevent it from a distance. That was just yelling commands and firing a taser from what looked like it was probably the taser's limit. At being able to reach the bad guy. So, yeah.
I think between the over-reliance on the taser and the over-reliance on the shouting commands, listen, you're not there to give a 15-minute, verbal dissertation. You tell the guy once or twice, and if he's not doing it, given everything that led up to you having to intervene, hey, you know what, guy? It's gun out now, and, the rest of it's on the bad guy.
Yeah, and when you're chasing a bad guy, I know we're at time here, but I'm normally looking for objects. I'm going to put, you don't have to tackle the guy. Sometimes you'll tackle the guy. Maybe that's the only chance you have, but I'm looking for objects that I can push him into that will assist me. And I know that if I don't have an object, I can normally push the guy when I get close enough to him or get beside him and knock him off balance to where he's going to go down. Sometimes we both may go down, but that is always an option that you have. When you got a guy that's committed with that much speed, they cannot change direction. They're committed to going in that direction. So if you're running by a light pole or something, those things are just great, because not only they will take out the bad guy in a spectacular fashion, and he's not going to be much for a fight afterwards. So, but another great show. Rich Scarapoli, thank you so much for being on the show. You absolutely knocked it out of the park on the Secret Service issues. A shout out to Gallus.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunlearner.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.